This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
Surviving the cold.
Is that all, man? Did you watch the inauguration?
I refrained.
I had to choose between watching the inauguration and going and sitting outside in the cold. I decided to go out and sit in the cold.
Watching paint dry? You know who that is by now. That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, it's amazing. You drive east in a morning like this, and it's clear sky, except out over the lake there's this dense cloud of fog based on the fact that the temperature is minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit and the water is 33 degrees or whatever it is. And it's an amazing phenomena. But this is old time cold. This is winter.
You know, Sandy, I have to say that I didn't even notice the cold this morning. You know,
you just dashed into the car.
Well, you know, I watched something last night, man, there was a transfer of power last night. 47th president of the United States was sworn in, it's a new world order, so to speak, and so I didn't see the morning.
Well, I listened to a whole bunch of it, actually. I didn't ignore it. I did listen to a whole bunch of
the morning festivities.
Yeah, I listened to the morning process live, and I've watched clips of the rest of it because the quote festivities close quote continued well into the early evening, it was a day filled with things that I guess could be called news. Most of it was stuff that had been projected, but. Yeah, wow. I mean, clearly, this was a bottled up bunch of activities that we knew were going to happen on day one, and a whole bunch of things did happen on day one or appear to be happening, it's all going to play out. But and the exercise of the pardon power by both presidents, it was like OK Corral with the pardons.
Well, let's begin there. We've got an awful lot of ground to cover. 855-752-4842 is the number. So, outgoing President Joe Biden pardoned family members and others.
Well, he pardoned a whole bunch of government officials too, people who apparently might be in the sights of the guns, the prosecutorial guns of the incoming administration, because there were threats of essentially vindictive or at least counter actions and legal actions against people who were on the January 6th committee in Congress, Anthony Fauci, a number of people who were in government who apparently had exercised their power in ways that Donald Trump found troublesome, General Milley. I, for one—
Would you support the pardons for those people?
Well, my problem is with pardons generally. I was, for 2 years of my life, responsible for pardons for the governor of the state of Wisconsin as his legal counsel. And at the time, I wondered about the power of the pardon because we were exercising pardon power. Then much of it we would do with the instruction or advice from the then state parole board. And, you know, we were not exercising the pardon power in a way that was at all corrupt. But But we could have, you know, the power is absolutely unilateral. There is no review process for it. There's no court looking over the shoulder of a president or no court looking over the shoulder of a governor as to who they pardon and why they pardon them. It's just absolute. And so it's something that's really subject to the potential for corrupt conduct or at least outlandish conduct. It hasn't been exercised very, very much up until more modern days, although I'm sure if I went and decided to write a book about the pardon power and its conduct over the life of the presidency of the United States since the 1700s, we would find episodes where we would scratch our head and say, that looks like a pretty sketchy kind of a pardon to grant. But yesterday's pardons were without precedent in terms of their breadth on both sides of the aisle. You know, the outgoing president with a bunch of preemptive pardons and the incoming president pardoning, for instance, these 1,500 or 1,600 people who were involved in January 6th, many of whom were pled guilty, many of whom were found guilty by juries, many of whom were the trials were conducted by Trump-appointed judges. I mean, it wasn't a question of misjustice, other than the fact that that's the way the president decided to characterize them. The outgoing president found it necessary, he said, to pardon a bunch of people because he wanted to protect them from essentially the harassment of unjustified prosecutions, which, however, would cost them an enormous amount of money to defend themselves against. And, you know, the fact is that Adam Kunzinger and Liz Cheney, for instance, have immunity for their conduct associated, you know, on the floor of Congress and their conduct as congresspeople carrying out the job of congressmen. They have an absolute immunity to it. So the notion that Trump would prosecute them could only be to harass them and to cost them money because there's no potential that they could be convicted of any crime associated with their conduct in office, in their official conduct. And so, you know, yesterday was a day that I think historians will write about. I think it will result in a congressional analysis of the power of the pardon and whether it can be constrained by Congress. Most legal experts believe that it is something that is embedded implicitly or explicitly in the Constitution.
So, Sandy, before you go any further down the road, I would like to ask you, you know, Liz Cheney, Adam Kunzinger, and people who work in the government, Fauci and those kind of people, the fact that they would have to be protected for doing their jobs,
yeah,
to me, is just outrageous.
Well, Kunzinger said he didn't want the pardon because he agreed with me that it was, you know, that the chance of him getting prosecuted for it was nil because, or the chance of getting convicted at least was nil because of the very legal principles that I describe. But
they didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah, well, I can understand, however, someone like Anthony Fauci, someone else whose means are not unlimited and their capacity to defend themselves, even if it's a slam dunk defense, means that they have to spend a lot of money and a lot of their time and energy, psychic energy, defending themselves against suits that would be harassment. Now, you know, Donald Trump claims that the suits against him were harassment that he shouldn't have been required to defend himself against. I think the proof of that is in the analysis by each one of us as to what the difference in the conduct was that
Sandy
resulted in action.
I would say, as an American citizen, I would be outraged that people who are doing a service for this nation, and those are the people that we're talking about,
yeah,
would have to be protected. It's never been the case before. And so if I understand that in this instance, I'm not saying all of the people Biden pardoned, because I didn't see the list, and family members and all that, I'm, you know, but when we're talking about people who sat on panels that the government supported, mm-hmm, the fact that they have to be pardoned is outlandish.
Well, it is outlandish, and like I said, you know, the incoming president talked about de-weaponizing the prosecutorial powers of the government on the one hand, and on the other hand, was talking about chasing after these people who he said committed crimes while they were in office, and needed to be prosecuted, like Anthony Fauci and others, who he explicitly has talked about chasing legally. And I think that was the whole reason for the pardons being granted, was the fact that these were people who were declared to be in the target. You know, he also pardoned staff members on that January 6th committee because the view was that they could chase after anybody involved with that committee process. Again, though, like I said, the operation of government, the people who are within the operation of government are generally protected, particularly the sitting Congress members are protected from—
Operative word, generally.
Yeah, well, they should be.
Yeah,
you know, right. But the fact is that who knows in today's world, because we're going to have what we're going to see in this administration, I'm quite sure, is a continual test of the legal powers of the power of the presidency. And the only constraint on that power of the presidency will be court actions and the Supreme Court ultimately. And then the question will be, will the president honor the decision of the Supreme Court? Because as the incoming president has himself quoted, Andrew Jackson famously once said, well, the Supreme Court has spoken, now let them enforce it, okay? And the problem with that is that the Supreme Court doesn't have any enforcement mechanism. It doesn't have a sheriff's department it can send out to enforce its orders. It relies on whom? It relies on the president and the executive power to enforce the actions that are decided, or the decisions that are decided by the Supreme Court.
So let me ask you, pardoning power that clearly was written in and for, you know, centuries, and so in certain instances, you know, presidents have done that on very small, much smaller scales. Obama did, I think, 2,000. They said Biden's was up to 8,000 or more.
Well, and Obama's 2,000 was a record at the time.
Right.
And so, you know, the pardon power is derived from the power of the king, actually. It's just a vestige of the power of the monarch to exercise the power of pardoning and forgiving those who might have been accused by the crown or the government of committing a crime. And as I said, I think it's a very doubtful, from the standpoint of a democracy, it's a very doubtful power to put into the hands of an individual.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Just all sorts of things to talk about. Hamas still in control of Gaza. All the different executive orders. We're going to cover all those things on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and changing of the guard took place on yesterday. Got a lot to talk about. Go to the phone lines quickly. Gary from Sussex, you say what?
I say it's a great day for America, for about 61% of the people in this country.
And where do you, first off, where do you get 61%, man? What kind of math are you doing?
No. CNN was talking this morning, and I watched CNN, and they were talking about that they don't understand why, but 61% of the people think that America is going to do well, and they're looking forward to. So 61% of the people think, I'm not saying 61% of the people voted for him, but 61% of the people think America is going to do well in the future.
Based on what?
Donald Trump.
Okay. All right.
Their poll that they had. I mean, I'm just telling you what I
saw. Okay, I don't. Okay, go ahead. They can say anything. Okay, go ahead.
As far as you guys, I agree 100% what Sandy was saying this morning about this pardon stuff. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're doing preventive or pardons and pardoning 1,500 of these people that were, you know, storming the Capitol. I don't believe that every one of those people should have been pardoned. I think if you hit a cop in Wisconsin, if you assault a police officer, it's a mandatory 10 years in prison if you go punch a cop. So to me, if you hit a cop, you know, you should be spending time in prison. 1,500 of those people do not belong in prison. Some of these people are...
All of them weren't in prison, Gary. That, you know, 1,500 weren't in prison because all of them didn't hit cops.
Right, and I understand it. But to spend a year or 6 months in prison, lose their jobs at home and
Gary,
stuff like that...
The ones who did plead or they were found guilty, okay? So, you know, the people, many of them who said, yes, I did it, I'm guilty, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, sure, if they're in there and they got their face.
Well, they pled guilty, Gary.
Should they go to jail?
Let me just cut this off. 1,500 people didn't go to jail. 1,500 people got pardoned, but some of them probably got probation. Maybe many of them.
Most of them, I don't know.
I don't know how many of them spent any time in jail. There were a number that did, but you know, we should probably get facts before we discuss all of it. But I happen to have a problem generally with the pardon power, and whether it was exercised correctly or not. I have a problem with governors and presidents having this power. Unfortunately, it's sort of embedded in our system and in our Constitution, and so we end up having this thing that can happen, and all we can do is shake our head. But there's no process we can go through to rectify whatever it is that a president does in terms of exercising his pardon power.
We can change that.
Well,
Congress
can't change it. The pardon power probably is not congressionally based. It's probably constitutionally based, so it can't just be changed by the Congress.
Yeah, but you can change it. You can make amendments to the Constitution.
Well, you can do that.
Yeah, we should. And we should define, you can't go out there and start pardoning people for crimes they haven't even done. That's ridiculous. You got to be found guilty, and then you can get pardoned. You cannot pardon somebody for something that, well, you know, like the Biden crime family, all his brothers and cousins. And
well, now,
whoever.
Wait. Now, Gary, now, you know, we can, you've decided to adopt this.
Thank you very much for the call.
The crime family vernacular for the Bidens. We don't know whether the Biden relatives have committed any crimes or not. They've never been convicted of them. And other than Hunter Biden, the son, none of them have been charged with it, and they have been investigated. So, you know, I'm not sure that the adjectives we use for folks necessarily defines them in a way that we can believe.
You know, Sandy, so many, many of these executive orders that Donald Trump signed yesterday, you know, unilaterally, some things he can get away with, other things he can't. And they have to be filtered out
Well,
basically, sipped it out.
The power of the president, president does have a bunch of powers. He does have the power to declare emergencies. Now, the declaration of an emergency could be reversed by Congress. The power of the president with respect to tariffs, the power of the president with respect to international affairs, the power these are fairly broad powers that reside within the presidency. The power of the president to fire people. There are certain people where he clearly has the power to fire them or terminate their employment. There are others that where his action might not be clearly defined at all, and which can only be tested by the courts. So, I have not had a chance to, carefully look at all of these executive actions, but some of them undoubtedly are testing the edge of the envelope with respect to the power of the presidency, and would have to be reversed by a court.
Sandy, this is a time that the rules don't apply. The new president has shown the rule is merely a suggestion and is willing to exact a power that he has never been extended before.
You're reading a text message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've said this in earlier shows. I do expect that this president is going to pursuant to not just Project 2025. Which basically instructs the president to do this, but based on his own conduct so far yesterday, is going to exercise the power of the president well beyond the norm that it has been exercised in the past. And the only constraint on it will be court action.
855-752-4842 is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Up next, Trump signs two.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address this Wednesday, January 22nd. At 7 p.m., tune in to Civic Media for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Sandy, before we go to the phone lines and talk about the dismantling of equity policies, I just want to say President Biden is gone, and I think that before he should be totally trashed, the man did some good things. And you and I remember having these conversations about COVID, where it was, what was going on. He presided over a horrific time in the history of this nation that he deserves some respect for. Is it safe to say that?
Well, I think I think we shouldn't forget what it is that when he came into the presidency, what he inherited, which was a real difficult situation. You know, the incoming president spent a good portion of his talk yesterday trying to describe the situation he was inheriting as filled with problems. And it wasn't an accurate portrayal of the current situation. The current situation is not filled with problems. The economy is humming. There's all kinds of good news. The numbers of people presenting at the border is way, way down, far off of the high levels that were occurring as a result of post-pandemic migrations.
There is no energy crisis.
Yeah, there is no energy crisis today. So the situation today is far better and far different than the situation that Joe Biden inherited. And, you know, he navigated through it. We didn't have a recession. We recovered better than any of the other major countries in the world from the pandemic, came out of it. We recovered from the post-pandemic inflation better and faster than any of the other major nations. Our economy recovered better and faster. So, you know, I think there's obviously much that was positively done during these 4 years.
All right, let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I think nobody would disagree that Trump is doing things that no other president has done, both in terms of taking power over things and also in terms of gathering personal money. And, we really have moved farther from a democracy, and he continues to do things, and our government changes that direction for totalitarianism, dictatorship, authoritarianism. You know, one example is that both Hitler and Mussolini had people who beat people up, who opposed them, and used the muscle in many ways. But when they got in power, they pardoned those people. And Trump has just followed the authoritarian playbook one more time as we see our country moving farther and farther away from democracy and toward totalitarianism. And I want to speak to the people who don't like that, who believe in democracy. And Joe Biden left office with a call to us, and he said, it's up to us that we have to do anything. You know, going to our coffee groups and talking about it. It's just not, and around home or your friend, just doesn't cut it. Something needs to be done, whether it's even the small amount of sending $10 to someplace like Forward Democracy Forward, which is already suing the federal government for some of the outlandish things that Trump has done against the Constitution, or getting personally involved in politics and helping the right people get elected, use the democracy that we still have in power. So the challenge is with us as to which way it's going. It's going the wrong way right now, and I'm hoping people will finally see this, and those who have sat in the sidelines jump in and get involved to save our democracy.
Hey, Jack, I think is well said.
Yeah, and incidentally, one of the things you mentioned was the wealth aggrandizement of the incoming administration. And I will point out something that I guess we could laugh about, but it's not really laughable. The incoming president issued last week what's called a meme coin, a cryptocurrency meme coin, meaning that it's his face. Notion is that this virtual coin has his face on it. It's called a $Trump coin. And this meme coin is then purchased by those who want to purchase it. Apparently, the Trump Organization owns 80% of the meme coins. But so far, the purchase price of those meme coins means that the Trump Organization holds about $6 billion worth of these Trump meme coins. Not only did the incoming president issue meme coins, but then Melania, his wife, issued some meme coin cryptocurrency as well. And her cryptocurrency has already developed a value of many millions of dollars. Not only did she issue a cryptocurrency meme coin, but the minister who presided at the inauguration yesterday himself issued a meme coin cryptocurrency, and he said that he hopes to draw the benefit of the purchase of that meme coin for himself personally as well. So we have people doing this like openly and notoriously, and what do we think? The First Lady also signed an agreement with Amazon, obviously one of the biggest companies in the United States and in the world, and she signed a $40 million contract with Amazon a couple of days ago to give the rights for a movie that might be done about her. But $40 million by the biggest company in the United States to the First Lady. All of these things are outlandish. I mean, some, you know, those things happened after presidencies. The Obamas made book arrangements after their presidency. They were book arrangements, however, and they weren't with a company like Amazon that has all kinds of ongoing interest before the federal government during the term of the office. So I think we all need to be alert and awake, and we should worry about this extent to which people are going to personally aggrandize wealth. Here we have the richest man in the world who's exercising all kinds of power in the government, whose wealth has already...
Elon Musk.
...has already gone up many-fold. He spent $250 million on the campaign, but as far as that is concerned, that's peanuts compared to the extent to which his wealth has grown since the Donald Trump election. I mean, who won that election? Well, Elon Musk has won a great deal in this process. He's become the most powerful non-cabinet member part of this federal government, maybe the most powerful person in the government.
Yeah, he's the safest.
As well as being the wealthiest man in the world.
Jack, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you for the call. You say what?
I say good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to talk about how good the Republicans are. Unfortunately, I'm controlling the message. I want to circle back to what you and Sandy were saying earlier about what the condition of the country that Trump is inheriting. The economy is humming. Inflation is down. There is no oil crisis, and crime is down. You know, and the border is now under control post-pandemic. Now, you just watch. I predict that Trump's going to do and his cronies will do everything they can to take credit for this. He's already painted a very dark picture, you know, yesterday in his inauguration speech. They will continue that for a bit. But then soon the switch will be flipped, and all this Donald Trump is going to take credit for. And they'll say, you know what, you know, there is no really energy crisis. The borders are under control. You know, your pocketbook is doing better, which it probably won't because of a lot of things they've already installed. But they will tell you that, and they'll force you to believe that things are great under Donald Trump. And all we have to do is look back to when he was running for reelection. He kept saying over and over again that he created the world's best economy. Well, people forget he inherited a very good economy from Barack Obama. He ran it into the ground. But yet all you hear about is he, Donald Trump, personally created the world's best economy. And I think we're going to see that world's best economy time, you know, part two is coming up. And he'll take credit for the foundations that his predecessors put in place.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much for the call. As Trump said, I was saved by God to make America great again. Anyway, let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I got a couple of things, Earl. I called a while, maybe about a month or so ago, and said I was going to turn my flags upside down, which I officially did today. And one of your mega callers called in and said, don't do that. That's very disrespectful to veterans. Well, I just want to make a clarification that the inverted or upside down flag is not a sign of disrespect. It is a distress signal from naval traditions used to show grave danger to life or property. It is not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of distress. So I just wanted to clarify that, and I hope more people will follow suit with me. And I just want to leave you with a Confucius Cindy saying, a man who has no greatness in himself does not see the greatness in others.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, you're up next.
Good morning. Great one, by the way, Confucius, Cindy. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, and this is really parallel with Jack's call as well. You know, Martin Luther King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, talked about two things. One of them was he was challenging, you know, Central America, if you will, to get off the apathy couch and get to work. And I think that's what Jack was talking about in his call is, you know, our nation is at risk. Like, we have not seen, certainly in our lifetimes, probably in American history. We have a case where self-servants are dominating public office. We're seeing grifting on steroids, things that we've never thought were possible our almost daily routine now. It's up to the American people. Public action, this is the only thing. And I think Martin Luther King would say, you have to take this on directly, have a direct conversation, be diligent in the messaging, and say, you know, this is crazy. We no longer have equal interpretation of laws. We have a place where certain men and certainly the elites have different rules than the rest of us. But what in the world, how is that, you know, synergistic with the United States of America? We've seen stolen Supreme Court seats. That's not fair. It's not right. And again, even the midstream Americans, you know, that are not political. This is when the apathy needs to be set aside, and our nation must become our top priority. We've seen poison pills and healthcare legislation that was absolutely mandated by the people. And we get at best a half-assed healthcare bill.
So Mike, thank you very much for the call. As I stated before, you know, the last break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the dismantling of the equity policies in this nation. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And James Hess says, Biden's pardoning of Dr. Fauci explains everything about how Biden handled COVID. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
They were in daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
When I was 14, I was falling fast for a blue-eyed girl in my homeroom class. Trying to find the courage to ask her out was like trying to get off from a water spout. What she would have said, I can't say. I never did ask, then she moved away. But I learned something from my blue-eyed girl. Sink or swim, you gotta give it a whirl. Life's a dance, you learn as you go.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's Tuesdays. That means Tuesdays, my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, what is the music?
Well, the music today, the first one was about, it was called 100 Years, but it's about, we've only got a limited number of years left, each one of us. We got to try and do something about it, do something within it. And all of these are basically philosophical songs about standing up for what you believe in, getting things accomplished during your lifetime, or the options to that, at least. And you'll see from the songs, it's all about that kind of
stuff. So, Sandy, before we get into DEI discussion, tech executives take center stage in Washington, D.C. Let's talk about what that means.
Well, you know, the tech executives is another way of saying the richest people in the world, because the tech industry are the top capital, the top businesses in the world in terms of their market capitalization and the wealth of the individual. So, Amazon, Bezos, it's a tech industry, but it's something else.
Right.
It's a logistics business, and Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook guy, and Elon Musk. I mean, these are all names we all understand and know because they are the richest people. But these richest people have become the most influential people in our government. And if they weren't before. They're trying to elbow their way into that process. And this appears to be a government where wealth is a primary ingredient to the ticket to a front row seat, you know, and not only a front row seat, but influence.
So what are the inherent dangers?
Well, I mean, we talked about Russia being an oligarchy, and everyone seems to recognize, when you use the term oligarchy, everyone seems to recognize the danger of putting influence into the hands of people simply because they're wealthy, and what it does to a country in terms of the bedrock principles of democracy. And here we see it happening before our very eyes, and because apparently it's happening with our eyes open, we aren't talking about it, but we should, because wealth, this kind of extreme wealth, should not be the ticket to influence, and it should not be the ticket to political power, and yet it seems to be. And we need to be on guard about it, because what it means is that these people are in a position to exercise their self-interest in a way that will be self-aggrandizing, and we're watching it happen.
So Congress and can't control a pretty clear Congress. These people are almost independent of Congress.
Well, I mean, they are in a way. I mean, you know, what did Elon Musk say before the inauguration? He said, look, if people in the Senate don't vote to approve...
We'll run somebody against you.
The nominations, the appointments to the cabinet, we'll run people against you. So, yeah, they're using their money as a political weapon. And they're saying, basically, look, if you don't do our bidding... We'll find someone who will.
Sandy, I don't think people really, well, I shouldn't say that. There's some of us who understand that, the inherent danger of what we've entered into, the Twilight Zone. We've entered into that because there had been talk about this, Sandy, happening, but now it's here.
Well, the only thing that encourages me is that it's happening in broad daylight, so we can now see it. And this whole concept of money in politics isn't just a concept that we talk about, that actually is happening in the dark on K Street, where the lobbyists reside and where they have political action committees. And all this stuff seems to happen at midnight in the dark. This is happening in bright sunlight, okay? And the American public is seeing it happen.
Do you think they understand it?
Well, they ought to. You know, this is maybe the wake-up call that everyone needs, but I'm afraid it's not waking us up. There are people who are applauding it.
They were cheering Elon Musk. Well, Elon Musk is walking around with his arms raised like just knocked out the heavyweight champion.
Well, and the friends I talk to who are conservative are very wishfully talking about this Doge committee and all the good things that it's going to accomplish in terms of streamlining this government that's out of control. And I keep saying, well, make sure your government taxes enough so that it can be solvent, because it isn't just about cutting things. That always sobers them up a little bit. But the fact is that this guy who's got all this influence, now we're going to see how he's going to exercise that influence in terms of things that get cut from the government. And it's going to be things that are advantageous. I mean, one of the first things they're doing is cutting regulations. Okay, that's not cutting expenditures. That's cutting the things that get in the way of amassing more power and money.
Sandy, I heard Trump say one of the executive orders was to make sure that the IRS doesn't have the manpower necessary to go after you. Who was he talking about? He wasn't talking about me.
He wasn't talking about people who get paychecks and pay their taxes automatically with their paycheck withholdings. No, he's talking about people who have enough money that they're paying estimates and they're self-reporting. And, you know, that's the whole world of people that are worried about audits.
Sandy, with all of the things that are going on, why is that one of the number one executive orders?
And freezing all regulation. Pending getting control of the government, that said, you know, I think the American public ought to see what's happening in daylight, and that's what they ought to worry about.
All right, 855-752-4842. As promised, we're going to talk about, you know, the dismantling of the DEI in this nation next on the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
The The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.